And now online, via various audio providers, on your phone or tablet, via your desktop or laptop, I don't know, it's time for another edition of Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast.
Hello again, how are you? This is episode 2 of Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast. We made it past the pilot episode. Yes! Unlike Fox Force 5. So eat that, Uma Thermos. Anyway, my name is Ian Danter, and this little show is dedicated to reviving some old sketches and parody songs what me and my buddies Sean Percival and Andy Robinson used to do on local radio in the West Midlands a couple of decades back now, whether it was the Barmy Brummies Drive Time show on BRMB or the Sunday Carve-Up show that followed on Heart FM. Just a reminder that if you're listening via Apple Podcasts, I will issue the usual plea that podcasters say at this point. If you love the show, then please, please, please rate, review and subscribe to this, and I will be most grateful. And however you're hearing this, whatever provider, please spread the word if you're into it too. A reminder that episode 1 is there for you, as Graham Taylor would say, in the archive, whichever provider you're using to listen to us. It's not very much like. Okay, on with the show, and some music to start with for today's episode. Given that I'm a musician who can play a few instruments, it won't come as a great surprise to you then that one of my favourite things to do is to put parody songs together from scratch without relying on a backing track from elsewhere, like a karaoke company. You see, sometimes a karaoke backing track sounds fabulous, but it's got all the background vocals of the original lyrics on there, which are too prominent to sing over with different words. So for clarity's sake, I always prefer to do it myself. Now, once we'd established the Barmy Brummy show on BRMB in 2000, I asked whether I could block book the spare studio that was right next door to the on-air studio from 12 noon until 3 every day, so that I could then record what Sean, Andy and myself had written that morning for the show. And when it came to recording a parody song in amongst all our sketch work, speed was really of the essence. I had a basic Yamaha PSR keyboard, you know, 100 sounds, 100 rhythms, and a guitar that I left permanently in that studio to record with. And I'd build the track up bit by bit, bouncing various tracks between two mini disc recording machines. It was a really primitive system compared to what you can do today. But I worked pretty quickly, and sometimes the songs came out really well despite all the haste. Here's an example from 2002. Now, the story that day was that a famous woodland retreat holiday complex in Suffolk, you know who I mean, had to be evacuated when workmen inadvertently started a blaze in the central plaza that got completely out of control. Now, look, no one was hurt, by the way, I should stress, and the place was fixed and reopened within weeks of this accident. Now, Sean suggested that day a tune to suit the story, and I soon set to work, first putting the drums down manually via the sounds I could select on the keyboard, you know, a bass drum here, a hi-hat there. Then I added a bass guitar sound from the keyboard again, followed by a little bell tone that I needed. Then I plugged my guitar in for the main riff, finally laying all the vocals on bit by bit on top of all of that. Now, Tammy Gooding was on air next door at BRMB at the time, and she sometimes pressed a button on her desk to hear what exactly I was doing in my studio next door. What on earth was going on, she would think. And I can clearly remember her doing that whilst I put the final vocal track down for this, and she was howling with laughter at me through the glass, so I sensed that it was a decent effort. Anyway, here it is, created with love, as Blur recall the April 2002 blaze at a well-known Suffolk woodland holiday resort. And credit as well to several BRMB staff for coming into the studio and helping me with the backing vocals, if you like.
I get up when I want to, except yesterday when I got rudely awakened by a raging inferno.
Centre Park fire.
I didn't have time to put my trousers on or have a cup of tea. I just ran out the chalet screaming,
Santa Papa.
I usually feed the pigeons and sometimes the sparrows too, but they was all burnt to a crisp on the roof.
Santa Papa.
And now I'm really unhappy, right? Because I spent a blooming fortune coming to this glorified Butlins and it's been totally ruined.
Park fire.
Hello there, I'm Trevor Francis, former manager of Birmingham City Football Club, established 1875, League Cup winners 1963 and 2011. And, you know, you're listening to Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast, a show that, you know, I listen to on many occasions.
All right, I introduced you in episode one of this podcast to a couple of regular characters that really became popular on both BRMB and Heart. You'll hear an excerpt from Des's diary later on, I promise. But first, here's another trip to the House of Commons to hear from the politically incorrect MP for Dudley, Mr. Black Country Bob. Now, I was told that at one point in Barmy Brummy's history, the production line at the Rover in Longbridge actually stopped so they could hear Bob loud and clear on the factory floor. We actually hit productivity in the UK car industry. Disgraceful and absolutely amazing at the same time. Anyway, here's Bob giving Tony Blair an earful, as usual.
He's in the House of Commons, he's parliamentary, and proudly representing his constituency. He's the perfect politician until he opens his gob. He's the MP for Dudley, he's Black Country Bob.
Mr. Spiker!
Prime Minister's questions. Black Country Bob.
Right then, OK, Prime Minister, right? If I lend you a tenner, will you make me a lord?
No, I certainly will not make you a lord.
Well, that ain't right then, is it? Because according to the papers in the last couple of weeks, all you've got to do is loan some dosh to the Labour Party and you'll go straight on the honours list.
Well, frankly, it wouldn't matter how much money he offered. I mean, no one in their right mind would ever consider making the Right Honourable Member for Dudley a Lord of the Realm, would they?
I don't want to be one anymore.
Oh, good.
I'm all just senile old men lounging around at the taxpayers' expense.
Oh, rubbish. The Right Honourable Member for Dudley is a disgrace. Some members of the House of Lords are dignified people, I'll have you know.
No, they ain't.
Who have worked tirelessly for the poor and underprivileged, not only in this country, but all over the world.
Yeah. So what?
I mean, surely there's one peer that the Right Honourable Member for Dudley respects.
Yeah.
I said there must be one peer you like.
Or Blackpool peers, all right. Oh. And a bright peer ain't bad either.
Order. Order.
What are you all laughing at?
Order. Order.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne, and you're listening right to Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast. Ian Danter? Who the f*** is that? I've never f***ing heard of him.
Now, if there's one man to whom I owe more than anyone else to my 2 decades plus in broadcasting, it's the man who first noticed me. Tom Ross, the legend of Midlands Radio and former head of sport at BRMB, who now works as part of our TalkSport match reporting team. He was, in his time, a regular match commentator on BRMB and used to get very, very overexcited at goals going in for our three teams we covered in the region, namely Villa, Blues and West Brom. I can remember, for example, West Brom defender Igor Balis scoring a crucial late penalty at Bradford in April 2002 that practically confirmed that Albion would be promoted to the Premier League ahead of their great Black Country rivals Wolves, who'd been top but had lost form at precisely the wrong moment in the season. Now, Tom, who was there commentating at Valley Parade Bradford, proceeded to go absolutely... He went as mental as the Baggies fans in the away end did when the penalty went in. I think he firstly made Igor Ballas' name last about 20 seconds from beginning to end. And then he exclaimed at the top of his lungs, "They're running out of toilet paper in Wolverhampton tonight! Fantastic!" Only it's three times as loud as that. And now, if you thought that sounded tonto, the crucial Darren Carter penalty in the 2002 playoff final in Cardiff that sent his and my beloved Blues into the Premier League not long after in 2002 sent him completely over the edge. I wish I had the footage to play you. His commentary style became something of legend, and I often wondered if he ever switched off in ordinary life, which of course, to my mind, as a member of the Barmy Brummies, he didn't. Like in this instance.
Tom Ross at the doctor's office.
Hi, I'm Tom Ross, and I'm here live and exclusive from my doctor's surgery because it's the morning after the playoff final and my voice is minging, let me tell you. And just looking there, it's going to be a long wait here. You know what it's like at the doctor's? I've only just arrived and I probably won't get seen for about half an hour or so.
Tom Ross to Dr. Irving's room, please.
Straight in to see him! Last time it was a heartbreaking 2 hour wait, but there's no wait this time! Fantastic!
Ah, morning, Mr. Ross. Thought it was you. I could hear from outside. Throat problems again, is it? All right, I'll just write you out a prescription.
Oh, just look in there. Look in there. He's writing the ticket out. Is it going to be for a box of them blackcurrant strepsils that I love so much? Oh, go on, son. Go on, son. Go on, son. Don't even want to... Oh, I don't believe it. He's prescribed that minty chloroseptic throat spray, which, let me tell you, is absolutely minging, by the way. I'm going to have to pay £6.80 for that and all. What a disappointment.
Look, I tell you what, Mr. Ross, seeing as I know you so well, how would you like it if I ticked this box here on the prescription so that you're exempt from paying any charges for it, hmm?
Oh, just look in there. Hey, the doctor's grabbed his pen. Go on, son! Go on, son! He's in the box! He's in the box! He's in the box! He's in the box!
I paid £6.80 for my last prescription, but there's no charge this time!
Okay, in episode one, available via the archive, just so you know, I introduced you to a few of the benchmark items that we regularly placed in our comedy shows down the years. That included our extraordinary stash of previously unheard Mr. Men stories, narrated by the late, great Arthur Lowe. We brought you Mr. Editor last time. Here's another with a feline subject.
Mr. Pussycat enjoyed his life. Humans really are stupid, Mr. Pussycat thought to himself as he tucked into his kitty cat milk. When I finish this, I'll go to that lonely old widow's house at the end of the road, thought Mr. Pussycat. And when he arrived there, do you know what Mr. Pussycat did? Yes, you're right. He purred and rubbed himself against her leg. And can you guess what she did? Yes, you're right again. She gave him some fresh chicken and a pouch of rabbit meat. Gullible old bag, thought Mr. Pussycat as he eyed up her budgie. Then Mr. Pussycat waited for her to go to the toilet, leapt up onto the work surface and gulped down the smoked salmon the OAP had bought for her lunch. And then he went and sat in front of the fire. Later that day, Mr. Pussycat ambled out of the house.
There he goes, off to catch a mouse or a bird, said the old dear to no one in particular.
I don't need to do that because of the amount of food you gave me, thought Mr. Pussycat. And can you guess what he did then? Yes, you're right. He pooed in her garden. Now, when he arrived at the park, Mr. Pussycat was approached by some children. Here we go. 10 minutes of pampering, Mr. Pussycat thought to himself, and he lay down with his eyes closed as the kids stroked him. Just then, Mr. Pussycat felt something on his tail.
"Make sure you light it at arm's length," he heard a voice say, "and then stand back 5 meters," someone else added.
Poor Mr. Pussycat. Should have stayed in the house like man's best friend. The stupid...
This is former England manager Graham Taylor, and what you are listening to, eh, is Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast. Hey, what sort of thing is happening here online? Hey, Carlton, they're losing the shape. Tony!
Back to our parody songs now. I played you that Blur parody earlier that I recorded using a really primitive setup I had in my BRMB days. By the time I was at Heart in 2004, things were different for a weekly show, and I could devote much more time to creating backing tracks at home in my studio without the same time pressures. Now, this very week, we have, of course, heard that the Tokyo Olympics have been postponed back to 2021. And the Olympic Games in our first year at Heart, 2004 that was, those Olympics were in Athens. And the Team GB swimming team that set off for Greece were supposedly the, and I quote, most professional and best prepared team for this Olympiad, according to their head coach as they set off. Well, the expected multiple victories in the pool certainly did not materialise, and it was a hugely disappointing performance in the end. Sean called me late that week saying, "Can you sing like the bloke from Spandau Ballet in? I've got this idea." He emailed some lyrics through, and I then realised just how tough a song he'd chosen for me to piece together, musically speaking. Lots of fiddly piano and whatnot. Well, I do like a challenge, and Sean never did defeat me once. So for this, I was able to use my nice Roland electronic drum kit, you know, with proper pads and sticks in my home studio, along with my nice Yamaha piano, real bass and electric guitar to record this song, as Tony Hadley and Spandau Ballet reflect on Team GB's all-too-rare podium finishes from the 2004 Olympic swimming events.
You should have stayed at home, sick of watching you just get beat. Normally in the first heat, they were depressing days. We were so ashamed to be Brits. You swimmers made a pig's ear of it. We are not proud of you. We're not proud of you. You made the nation feel small, and you came back with nothing at all. None. Perhaps you should never have swum. You lot want sweets at all. All you came back with were two bronze. The best thing that we saw by far was Sharon Davis with no bra. They looked inflatable. Silicon implants.
Oh, and Michael Phelps wins another gold for America. But what a great effort from Great Britain there, Adrian.
Yeah, you're right there, Andy. They've managed to complete both lengths without the aid of the float or the armbands.
All right, my loves, Brucey here. You're listening to Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast. Old Podcast, Barmy Danter's Ian. You're listening to... Marvellous.
Time to hear from another favourite of Barmy Brummies or Sunday Carve-Up listeners. It's our Des. Now, when we moved to Heart FM in 2004, we did change the title slightly to Desi's Diaries from Desi's Dedications. Incidentally, thank you to the guy, who shall remain nameless, that got in touch on Twitter requesting to hear Desi's Defecations. That's a whole new show. And a whole lot more Ofcom investigations, let me tell you, even more than we were used to. Let's just hope that was a misspelling from him, all right? And instead, we'll bring you...
Des's Diary.
Hi, girls. Des here on Ian Danter's Sunday Carve-Up here on 100.7 Heart FM. And it's time, once again, for... Dez's Diaries. And today, it's a big... Hi, girls. To all the staff at my local hairdressers. Well, would you believe it? I recently went for a trim. My hair was shoulder length at the time, and as soon as I walked in, the stylist sat me down and grabbed hold of it.
Oh, yes, it's very long,
she said, and then she gave it a squeeze.
Mmm, nice and thick as well,
she purred. It seems a bit limp at the moment, I interjected.
Don't worry,
the stylist assured me.
We'll soon put some life into it.
And with that, she gave it a firm hold while the two young Saturday girls went to work on it with their curling tongs. Fantastic. I'll tell you what, they kept me in that chair for 2 hours, and they gave it so much bounce I nearly ended up with a split end. Cheerio.
Dez's Diary, the Sunday carve-up, 100.7 Heart FM.
Well, this century has seen the extraordinary rise of the celebrity TV chef, hasn't it? I mean, think about it. ITV on Saturday mornings at the start of the 2000s was Anton Deck with CD UK. Nowadays, it's Rick Stein or James Martin making some scallops with apricot foam and a fennel jus or some such. Now, arguably, the biggest celebrity chef was, and maybe still is, Gordon Ramsay. Of course, Gordon's whole shtick, his USP, was about being confrontational and all sweary. I mean, he's still doing it now on telly, although not as often as he was back in 2006 when Sean and I imagined what Gordon would be like if he was on, you know, childcare duty at home doing really mundane things.
Right, I've brought my children along here to a neighbour's house. They're having a kids' party. The little ones are playing outside, so I'm going into the kitchen.
Oh, hello, Gordon. My name's Violet.
Hello, Violet. So, what's on the menu?
Well, Gordon, we've got turkey drumsticks, slices of pizza, microwave chips, fried chicken, and then, of course, jelly and ice cream.
Well, that is just disgusting.
What?
I think I'm going to be sick.
Eh?
I mean, what an absolute pile of
Gordon.
No fresh ingredients, no imaginative dishes whatsoever. You ought to be f***ing ashamed of yourself, woman.
No, but
I mean, how do you expect to get regular customers when you serve up this s***?
We don't want regular customers. Hey. It's not a restaurant. It's a children's party.
Look, don't f***ing interrupt me. Don't f***ing interrupt me when I'm talking, you cow. You need to take your f***ing head out of your and grow some b***, big boy. Oh, now she's crying. She's crying. Unbelievable. Look, I'll leave this with you, love. It's one of my own recipes. I'll pop back later to see how you're doing with it, okay?
Okay.
So, 2 hours have gone past, and I'm heading back to the party to see what she's done with my recipe. Hello, Violet.
Hello, Gordon.
Well, did the kids enjoy my recipe?
Well, no, Gordon. They won't eat it. They say it's horrible.
Oh, bullshit. Violet, how can they not like my braised venison and steamed artichokes on a bed of fresh Mediterranean salad drizzled with my basil and rosemary sauce? I simply don't believe you. Kids, come here. What's your names?
Johnny.
Kelly.
Chesney.
Chantel.
Davina.
Right, why won't you eat this venison?
What is venison?
It's deer.
Well, you mean like a reindeer?
Yes, hit, come on, have some. Oh, what are you crying for?
We don't want to eat Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer.
He's not Rudolph.
Promise?
Of course I promise. Rudolph doesn't exist, and neither does Santa, by the way.
Right, that's it, I've had enough. Mr. Ramsay, kindly get out of my house now.
Well, can you believe it? She's thrown me out. After all the constructive criticism I gave her about her dishes, she's just thrown it back in my face and slung me out. Well, I don't know about you, but I think that place has got 6 weeks at the most, and then it's going under. Unbelievable.
I am George Galloway, and frankly, you should be listening to my dulcet tones far more than this frivolous Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast, a show that, if my programme is the mother of all talk shows, then this is surely the illegitimate child. Vote for me wherever I end up next.
Okay, finally for today's episode, we have seen a lot of shelves being cleared in supermarkets in these last couple of weeks as toilet roll and hand sanitizers suddenly become rarer than hen's teeth overnight. The ensuing panic actually took me back to September 2005. That was when lorry drivers, you might remember, blockaded UK oil refineries in a protest over the duty that was being placed on petrol. And it led to the same thing we'd actually seen not 5 years before that. Drivers queuing in massive numbers for up to an hour at garage forecourts just to fill up as hysteria ensued on our roads. And at that time in 2005, I think it was September, yeah, Sean and I imagined for our next Sunday carve-up show that it would be great if right at the front of the garage queue, being all selfish and lazy in his giant gas-guzzling 6-litre 4x4, was the Northeast crooner extraordinaire, Mr. Chris Rea.
Put the nozzle in, yeah, right to the brim. Just sod the rest, 'cause I need a full tank. Well, I'm not going far, but I still take the car. Don't like exercise, yeah, got massive thighs. Don't wanna use my feet, even if it's just down the street. And that's why I'll queue all day to get fuel for my big Range Rover. Well, I won't walk, that's why. Fuel for my big Range Rover, I'll panic buy. Nursery's only up the road, but I won't get off my huge fat bum. Fuel for my big Range Rover for the school run.
Hey mate, stop singing and get a wiggle on, will you? I've been waiting 30 minutes in this queue.
Oh, I'm sorry mate, all the diesels ran out.
What? So, I'm right in thinking that there is no petrol whatsoever at this Esso garage?
Oh no, but there's a load at Shell.
Oh right, cheers, thanks very much.
Finish with a song, that's what they say, isn't it? Chris Rea there rounding off episode 2 of Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast. I have been chatting with Sean Percival, incidentally, my co-writer and voice of Black Country Bob from back in the day, and we are going to be writing some new stuff in amongst all the archive audio I'm putting up here for future episodes. So as the shows continue, we'll bring you some more topical up-to-date bits. Maybe Bob taking on Boris at PMQs. Let's see. You just never know, do you? Anyway, thank you once again for listening. I could beg you again to rate, review, subscribe, etc. In fact, I've just done it, so we'll just leave it at that, shall we? I'm on Twitter at TalkDance. That's at TalkDants. If you can somehow remember something depraved that we once did on air and you want me to try and dig it out of the vault for a replay, just tweet me there at TalkDance. That's the best way to let me know, I guess. Or indeed, just to let me know what you think of the show in general. More nonsense next time, okay, on Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast. And as Des would say, cheerio.